Good morning and welcome to worship. It's great to be together, and if you're visiting with us, we extend a very special welcome to you. A lot of great things going on in the life of the church. In the information part of your bulletin, there's a lot of outreach ministries and things going on with our youth and children. This afternoon at 2 o'clock will be our apartment canvas, and that too, the information about that is in your bulletin. We'll meet here in the parking lot of the church and carpool over there. A lot of great things, as I said, going on in the life of the church, and we have one very special announcement for you.
I just want you to know I'm happy. And are you happy? And the reason why we're happy is on Sunday, October 12th, we will be celebrating Children's Sabbath at all three worship services. We will be celebrating the ministry of our children. They will be leading us in worship. They will be singing. We will be artwork. You never know what we will be doing to celebrate our children and what they do at Asbury. So on that note, we need to get happy.
Clap along if you feel like that's what you want to do.
So while we're happy, let's stand up and greet and welcome one another. Standing and join with me in the call to worship. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever.
And his faithfulness to all generations. Amen.
We are
faith this morning is number 880, the Nicene Creed, and it's also printed in your bulletin. Let us affirm our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again. In accordance with the Scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Oh,
want to come join us up front for the children's sermon. All right. Good morning. I am so glad you're here this morning. All right, I brought a couple of things, and I want you to tell me whether or not, and don't give away the answers at 8:30, if they're going to sink or if they're going to float. Okay, here we go. Sink. We think we're going to sink. Okay, yes. Majority, no. Laura says no. You're thinking about it? Yeah. I'm thinking sinking. All right, spoon. Sink. Float. Sink. They're trying to decide up here. It's a struggle up here. What? You've done the dishes? So it means that they sink, right? Okay. Very good, Christian. Very good. I'm proud of you. Okay, here's the last one. Float. That's right. It's going to float. Well, you know, there was a time when Peter was in a boat, and he saw someone in the distance. And who do you think was in the distance? Now you can give the answer.
God.
Close. Who?
Jesus.
Jesus was. And he was walking, and he looked like he was walking on the water. And Peter got really excited. And he started to get out of the boat. And what do you think happened? He was what? He was walking on the water. He was so excited. But then you know what? He kind of got nervous, kind of got disrupted. And then he took his eyes off of Jesus. And what happened? He sank. And so the point today is that if we keep our eyes on Jesus, we're going to what? We're going to float. If we don't have our eyes straight forward on Jesus, we're going to sink. So think about that this week. Are you going to be a sinker? Or are you going to be a floater? So think about that. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for today. Remind us to keep your eyes on you. In your son's holy name we pray. Amen.
Prayer concerns printed in your bulletin. We have some additions this morning. We extend our love and sympathy to Charles Galloway and the death of his mother, Evelyn, yesterday. We also want to remember in our prayers Bonnie Covey. And also we celebrate the marriage of Elizabeth Waldrum and Julian Molina yesterday evening. So let's take our joys as well as our concerns to God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this day, as we have on so many Sundays, to give you thanks for all the blessings that you've given to us. We come to offer our worship and our praise. We live in a world of schedules and deadlines and commitments, and oftentimes that pace of life that we've chosen, it leaves us breathless. It also leaves us bitter and confused because we're convinced that there's got to be more to life, but we're unsure of how to find it. Sometimes we come and we're battered by the storms of life and the waves beat against our boats. Help us, dear God, in all these situations to see you in the midst of all of this. With outstretched arms, and you're saying to us, take my hand. Take courage. Don't be afraid. When we come to this place of prayer, We force ourselves to slow down, to relax, to tune into your holy presence. And when we do, we discover that we've raced by thousands of miracles. And we forgot to stop. And we forgot to notice. Forgive us for the laughter of a child, the smile of a friend, the beauty of a flower, the knowledge of your grace and compassion for us. Lord, there are many for whom we have concern. There are issues of health and the future being unknown. And there are many with issues known only to you. And this morning we lift up to you our prayer concerns. And we lift up to you the family of Evelyn Galloway. May your grace and peace touch all of their lives. Capture their attention. Give them strength and rest. Give them peace. Give them a peace that grips their hearts this morning. And we lift up to our need for prayer and our need for your presence in our lives. And we thank you, dear God, for always being there. We pray today that when we leave this place, we'll be just a little bit better than when we came in. That we'll be able to love others better. We ask that you help this growth of love in us to begin at home and spread to work and school and the neighborhoods and in this very church. May others see Christ in us because they see the love we have for him. All this we pray in the strong and loving name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, Our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. All one has to do is read the newsletter and look in your worship bulletin. There are many, many opportunities to be in service in this church, to be in service in ministry in the community. The apartment canvas this afternoon, the pumpkin ministry. We remember there are people that last year came up to us, the pumpkins were a tad late, and they said to Mary, we've been waiting on you all. They're waiting to support our youth ministries. The fall festival outreach for the neighborhood, the fall kits, homeless kits. So many things, so many things. Arkansas Reads, Jenny Curris is the coordinator. It's a program with the Little Rock School District where for 1 hour a week for 10 weeks, you help children improve their reading skills. So not only with our gifts of money, but our gifts of time and talent, we reach out and spread God's love. We are blessed to be a church with so many things like this going on. Let us pray. Gracious God, we're confronted with so many overwhelming needs in our world and within our community. We ask that you walk with us as we set aside our own desires and wants and join the call to help others. Our prayer is that you will transform our time, our service, and our resources into genuine acts of concern and ministry to others. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Oh, Meditation hymn 591, Rescue the Perishing.
To share with you from the Word of God as recorded in the Gospel of Mark, the 6th chapter, verses 45 through 52. Give you a moment to find that in your pew Bibles if you care to follow along. Gospel of Mark, 6th chapter, verses 45 through 52. May the people of God be inspired by this hearing and reading of God's holy word in the Gospel of Mark. Immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up to the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost, and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, have no fear." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Certainly, we are all familiar with many of the stories of Jesus and the disciples in the sea. I mean, Laura shared one different story with Peter and walking on the water to meet Jesus. But today we're looking at that familiar story of Jesus and the disciples in trouble out on the sea. We empathize what it's like to be in a dangerous situation. And we're very glad when there is a happy ending. But there has to be more that Jesus wants us to gain other than just this familiar story, this wonderful yet familiar story. What is it that Jesus wants us to take from this and apply then to our lives? That's our task in these moments. In the middle of a night, over 2,000 years ago, the disciples found themselves in the midst of a troubled sea, the Sea of Galilee. Now, the Sea of Galilee is 650 feet below sea level, 150 feet deep, and surrounded by mountains. Indeed, conditions to stir up the perfect storm. As the storm raged, the small boat struggled to keep itself upright. And if you look at Matthew's gospel of the same story, it states, "The ship was now in the middle of the sea, tossed with waves as the wind was contrary." When a storm is raging, obviously there's no moon to offer its light in the night. And without any source of light, then that darkness just seems all the more compounded. The sounds of the howling winds, the beating of the crashing of the waves onto the boat, that was all that they had, and all of that terrified them. The Gospel of John, the 6th chapter, verse 19, adds this detail. "They had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, interpreted to be about 3 to 3.5 miles long. Now, the Sea of Galilee is only 6 miles wide and 12 miles long. So having known that they rowed this far out, we do understand they were smack in the middle of the sea and beginning to panic. Now, previously, the disciples had been with Jesus in Bethsaida when he had performed the miracle of feeding over the 5,000 people. So much so that there was all the food left over. He dismissed the crowd and then went up to the mountain to pray and instructed the disciples just to simply row over to the other side and he would catch up with them later. Now, obviously, if there had been a storm, they wouldn't have gotten in the boat. No, when Jesus left them, everything was nice and calm. It was a beautiful day. The waters gave no concern. They were enjoying themselves after a long day. Can you just hear what those fellows are talking about in the boat? Just think what they have witnessed. "Have you ever seen so many people in your life? And could you believe what he did with that little bit of food? Fed all of those people and still had food left over? He's just amazing, isn't he? How did he do that? For the text tells us that they did not understand. So the disciples sailed out peaceably into the night. Then this ferocious storm just hit out of nowhere. Again, can you hear what they're saying in the boat? Row harder. Row faster. Try changing the jib. Hold steady your course. Hold steady, men. All their efforts were for nothing. The force of nature was just simply too great for them. And the scripture says, Jesus saw the disciples straining at their oars. Now Jesus prayed and he watched until the fourth watch of the night, and that's between the hours of 3 and 6 in the morning. And when he heard the commotion from the boat, it is then at the sound of that he walked out into the water. The disciples continued to try to navigate the boat this way and that way, but it was simply useless. Again, the force was too great for them. Just when they thought that it could not get any worse, they thought they saw a ghost. Now, remember the culture in which they lived? It was very superstitious, full of superstitions. So it wasn't so far-fetched, you see. But as he drew nearer to them, they recognized it was Jesus. The disciples cried out in fear upon seeing the ghost, but Jesus spoke to them. Always at the sound of the master, it calms us or stirs us. And when you're already stirred, you just hope it calms you. Do not be afraid. It is I. He climbed into the boat with them, and the winds died down, and the disciples couldn't believe their eyes. Their master had come. He had saved them. And look at this sea that just seconds earlier was all churning, was now just as placid as it could be. They were completely amazed at what this Jesus had done. Just when they thought he could not amaze them any further, he did something even grander, and they just didn't understand. Do we understand? Do we understand what Jesus wants us to apply from this story as we live out our lives? Let's take a jab at it, shall we, and see. One of the first things that we note is they parted. Jesus went his way, they went their way, and he went off to pray, and they went off to just chill out. I love the imagery here. Our Lord Jesus, in his typical character and integrity of being Lord, went up to the mountain to pray. He needed to check in with his dad. He needed time to commune and be at one with his Father. But the scripture is very intentional in saying as he was praying, he was also watching over the disciples. As he watched them struggle, he prayed. And it gives all more the new meaning to Romans 8:34. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and he intercedes for us. Thanks be to God. I think two things are significant here. Jesus takes the time to pray, as prayer was essential to his well-being. You cannot continue to give and give and give of yourself in your job. And if your job is to be the savior of humankind, you've got to be refueled. And prayer does that not only for the Son of God, but for all of his children. Jesus had had a long day. He had performed a miracle which absolutely drained him. He had been with all of those people. He was tired. He needed to do what was necessary to build himself back up again, so he prayed. When you and I have a long day, what do? You probably come in, throw down your briefcase or whatever else you're carrying. Go find your favorite easy chair, a couch, grab your favorite beverage, and either grab something that you've been trying to get your hands on to read or just your favorite program, and you just are quiet for a while. Or that's your intent. I doubt, however, the first thing you do when you hit the door and get into your house is go pray. Imagine the difference in your life and mine if we would do that. If we would take our moments of quiet time and meditate and commune with God. And second thing, Jesus is praying while he's taking watch. We need to watch over our families. We need to watch over our church. We need to watch and pray. Because Jesus taught us, do not be anxious about anything. It will not add one day more to your life. It will not enrich your life in any way, shape, or form. Do not worry. Instead, pray. And so we need to do this for family, friends, church, community, government, the world. I just had to get honest. And I had to ask myself, imagine what would happen if I would just increase the percentage of the time that I pray every day? Even if it's just the slightest bit more of a percentage of my day, just imagine what the change would be like in me and most likely others. And secondly, Jesus took steps to be closer to them. Jesus decided to go to his disciples, so he walked out to them. He didn't have a boat, and if you're Jesus, you don't let a sea get in your way. You just take the steps of faith. Jesus walked upon the water and approached the boat. And as our scripture text says, he was about to pass by them. Now, I struggled with that part of the text. Why did Jesus pass by them? And I came up with two ideas. First of all, that would be the perspective, don't you see, of the disciples. The disciples are writing this. And so to them, it looked as if Jesus was just passing by them without helping them. And then the second thing is, perhaps Jesus was doing that to encourage them. I'm going on before you, don't you see? I'm leading you. I'm getting you out of the way of this trouble. And this second idea is rather biblical. Look at what happens in Exodus 33:19. The Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. Moses drew from the presence of God. Jesus may have been trying to do the same thing, that they might draw strength and guidance from his presence. He wanted to encourage them in the midst of their trouble. But notice what he doesn't do. He doesn't stop their struggle. He's present during their struggle. Jesus watched them and tried to encourage them, but he didn't remove the struggle. I think this is huge. It is only when the disciples panic, thinking that he's a ghost, that he sets them straight and he hops into the boat. When you and I are mistaken about what we believe Jesus caused, he gets in our face, he gets into our life, he gets into our boat, and he says, you've got it all wrong. We don't give Jesus credit for a lot that we should, and we give him credit for things we shouldn't. Think about that. But hasn't Jesus always allowed the struggle? I mean, the people earlier, had struggled with being hungry, but he didn't send them away empty. No. They appreciated their food because they had struggled with hunger. The disciples appreciated the calm because they had been allowed to experience the storm. I think Jesus does the same with us. Think about your struggles. Think about in your life when you have felt the most alone, when you have felt the most terrified. Last weekend, while I was bush hogging, yes, bush hogging, not my little John Deere tractor mower, but the big thing. And I was bush hogging right around on this part of the property, and Tony was had his back to me, and he was bush whacking. You learn these terms after a while. He was bush whacking the weeds around the pond. So he couldn't hear me, don't you see? He couldn't see me when I began to scream because the tractor I lost control of, it was in reverse and headed toward the pond. Now, I don't know what I did to get myself in that fix. But I'm telling you, you haven't lived till you are inside a large rolling in reverse vehicle headed toward a body of water. But somehow, it got disengaged. And again, I don't know what I did to get myself in that fix, and I don't know what I did for that tractor to stop and that bush hog implement catch the bottom of the levee tipping at the edges of the pond. But I know this. I have never in my life felt so close to those disciples in that storm. Because I was calling out to Jesus, and you better believe I was yelling, oh Jesus, help me. Friends, Jesus doesn't take away the struggle, but he supplies what we need. As much as we dislike the struggles in life, it is fair to say that we need the challenge to appreciate our life. What would be its value if everything came so easy? Why need Jesus? Why need God? It's easy. Sail through life. No illnesses, no problems, no accidents. Got plenty of money. Everybody's healthy. Everything's easy. Our faith is no different. Christianity isn't easy. Life has its disappointments. And we endure the struggle. But think about the beauty that comes from struggle. Think about who you have become through your struggles. Think about the butterfly that through its struggle bursts forth from the cocoon and is released into a freedom of new discovery and of new creation, new life. Think about the mercy and the relief of death, which follows a horrible, horrific, or lengthy illness and releases that soul into the glory of resurrection in Christ Jesus. When trouble happens, you can't give up. Spiritual maturity only occurs when we flex the muscle through the struggles of life and rely on Jesus Christ our Lord. Perhaps that's when you read the letters of Paul. He so often uses the images of the military and of the farmers and of the athletes who in their strength are strengthened even more as they face the various trials and overcome hurdle after hurdle. It describes living out one's faith. It's hard work, full of disappointments. But when we look to Jesus, we will find he is no ghost. He is real. And that's what's happened to us. We've allowed him to become less real in our churchy sort of way. Like the disciples, Jesus sees our big trouble overwhelming our little boat, and he goes before us to save us. And the final thing I gleaned from this story is Jesus is always watching us simply because his vigil never ends. Never. We are always in his sight. We need to watch over one another, pray over one another, encourage one another. And you know what? We might even need to get into one another's boat. Yeah. As we live our lives out, there are hundreds of situations that we see or hear about or engaged in ourselves. How will we respond to all of those? Will we pray about them? Will we encourage those persons in those situations? Will we even be willing to practice and get involved and practice some justice and some righteousness and get in the boat? Oh, we can go through life and live it as uninvolved and sterile as we'd like. Or we can follow the way of the Master and step out into the troubled waters, resting assured that Jesus is already there. The point is, in the midst of our troubled sea, we can focus on ourselves, on our pity, on our fear. We can focus on the troubled sea in which we find ourselves and probably consequently drowned, or we can look up to Jesus, who is our help. Because if we don't look up, we may miss him. We may miss him. When I look in the mirror, I don't see Jesus. But when I look up, oh, I see and I feel and I touch him and I hear him. This morning, do you find yourselves having fear right now? Do you find yourself in trouble about something? Think up, pray up, lift up. What we need is to brace ourselves, look at our hearts, and be real honest and see if they've gotten a bit hardened. And we don't understand. And I think that that's our biggest fear, is to allow our hearts to become hardened. Because in verse 52 again it says, they were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. If we don't believe, if we doubt Jesus can do all things, if we think he has left us behind, our hearts become hardened. Because doubt does that to faith. Let me just end in this quick thought. One of my favorite paintings is that of a young sea captain trying to maneuver and pilot his boat with high waves and crashing rain and lightning. And you see the concern on his face, and yet somehow the face still holds a glimmer of hope. And then you look behind him and you see why. Because there's Jesus with one hand on the young captain's shoulder and the other hand pointing toward the bearing that will help him get out of the storm. Psalm 34:17 says, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. In your inevitable storm, check your righteousness barometer. In your storm, remember to keep your eye on Jesus and not focus on your trouble. And know he goes before you and never loses sight of you. So just right now, here's the challenge. Who in your circle needs your encouragement? Who do you know needs you to not only pray for them, but grab their hand and pray with them? Who needs to know that in their life, you're not some apparition out there, but that you're real and available? Who out there could really use you in their boat? This life of ours, Jesus never promised smooth sailing, but he does promise to show us how to adjust the sail. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our hymn of commitment is I Surrender All, 354. We're going to be singing the first, second, and last verses. If there are those here today who would like to unite with this church in any of the ways we receive members, to come forward and profess your faith in the pilot of your life, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, or to renew that faith, we invite you to do so. Or if you'd like to come to pray, we invite you to do that as well. Let us be standing. And I'm going to be leaving immediately following the benediction because we have two wonderful families joining our church in the celebration service, and they are the Dixon family and also the Hutchinson family. And together they bring to us five small children to enjoy helping a part of nurturing that faith. So I know that you'll understand. Please receive this blessing. And now, God, we thank you so much that you rescue us from the storm, that you have your eye upon us always. And now, God, may we go forward and be faithful and watch for you instead of focusing on our troubles. May we be the helper to those we meet. In Jesus' name, amen.